was thrown, I knew, if not when, where, or how. In the meantime, it was enough that we knew Mastiat's whereabouts, and that these jovial monks would speed us on our way. They didn't stint us either, with the loan of 2 camels, their saddlebags filled with grub and flasks of tej, cloaks and blankets, and a couple of chicos to race ahead to make sure our coast was clear. Ulaba made no offer of payment, simply fluttering a queenly hand at me, and I presented the chief deacon with a purse of $50, to which she added one of her bracelets, which she presented in fine Lady Bountiful style to a small girl in the crowd. For every soul in the place, priests, lay brethren, labourers, and menials, was on hand to see us off. We mounted the camels. They lurched to their feet. The Abba blessed us, and off we went, with a camel groom trotting in our wake. He would bring the beast back from Lake Tana, where we would seek other transport. A chorus of farewells followed us, and before we were out of earshot, they were making a joyful noise to the Lord, either in rehearsal for Palm Sunday, or rejoicing for the dollars. I'm no old Africa hand, and what I'd seen of Abyssinia so far had jaundiced rather than impressed, but I'm bound to say that the Lake Tana country is as close to earthly paradise as I've ever struck, for scenery at least. From Azez to Gorgora on the northern shore is nothing out of the ordinary, but the lake itself beats anything in Switzerland or Italy. A great blue, shimmering inland sea, fringed by tropical forest, hills and meadows, for all the world like a glorious garden of exotic flowers and shrubs in groves of splendid trees and ferns. The woods are alive with birds of every colour and size, from tiny feathered mites hardly bigger than butterflies to the mighty hornbill, a black and white monster as big as a man, braying as it rushes overhead like some flying dragon. There's an abundance of game, deer and antelopes and monkeys everywhere, buffalo ranging on the slopes, huge hippos surging and bellowing in the lake itself, and the biggest snakes in Africa, 20-foot pythons in shining coats of many colours, gliding through the shallows. Good camels can cover the ground as quickly as horses, and we made our first night camp in a little palm grove only a few miles from the lake. Ulaba said it would be safer to steer clear of Gorgora, so next morning we made a beeline for the western shore and the cover of the jungly forest. It had not been determined precisely where on Tana the groom should turn back with the camels, and when Ulaba said we'd like to take them as far as the Abai source, he had severe conniptions. He was one of your tough, lean abs who run like stags, and had kept up easily with his long, loping stride. But he was shot if he was going to venture any nearer the dreaded Negus Tuwudros than he had to. Everyone knew of the carnage that had been wreaked south of the lake, of the burning and blinding and hacking off of ears and noses. Why, all Mecha was a smoking desert. Ulaba came the headmistress with him, but he wasn't to be moved, and it was only when she'd offered him $20 and he'd beaten her up to 30 that he reluctantly agreed to come as far as Edina, near the foot of the lake.
"We could have killed him and kept the camels," says Ulaba, as we rode on our way with the groom trotting moodily after.
"But he might have fought. And what is $30?
I wondered if she'd have expected me to do the dirty deed. Knowing her style, probably not. It took us the best part of the day to reach Edina, a little fishing village in a pretty clearing by the shore. They were almost the first folk we'd seen since leaving Azez, friendly enough peasants, but, like our groom, apprehensive of what lay further south, and thankful that Theodore's campaign of terror had not touched them so far. Zage and Bahi Dare had been razed to the ground, and all the people killed or driven away. Yes, Theodore's soldiers were still at Kurata across the lake, but no, nothing would induce them to ferry us anywhere near the city, or indeed even down the coast. Having seen their boats, crazy coracles of woven bulrushes that were permanently waterlogged, I was happy to continue our journey on foot. To Ulaba's fury, our groom, gossiping at the evening meal, which we shared with the village headman, mentioned that we were on our way to find Queen Mastiat. It seemed harmless to me, but she was spitting blood later when she explained that the nearer we got to our goal, the greater our danger, with Theodore's lances on hand.
"I knew we should have slit the chattering bastard's throat. Well, he has our dollars, but we'll not bid him goodbye. When all are asleep, do you take the saddlebags from the camels, and we'll be away before dawn."
It seemed to me she was starting at shadows. These folk hate things.